This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Modernization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with Federico Zoffoli of Ardensoft. Federico is a co-founder of Ardensoft and has been involved in the legacy modernization space for over 15 years in various roles. He started as a programmer of automatic migration tools and moved into management of business development and marketing efforts at Ardensoft. He has a highly technical background, including a PhD from the University of Florida, and has years of participation in real-world legacy migration projects. Federico is passionate about the intersection of the technical challenges and the business need of automated transformation. He is on a campaign to show how automated legacy transformation is a cost-effective alternative to the evolution of information systems. Take this opportunity to learn more about automated legacy transformation. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Federico Zoffoli.
Federico, can you tell me a little bit about your experience in software modernization?
Yes. Hi, Mark. I've been with Ardensoft for about 15 years, and the goal at Ardensoft has always been, from day one, to help customers make a transition to a newer platform, a newer technology, without losing their investment in the applications that were already supporting the business. We've done a lot of things from RPG, Informix, Oracle Forms, and lately a lot of Visual Basic modernization projects, Unisys Link, and some other things. In general, I can say that I have a technical background, even though I've been focusing more on the business aspects of Ardensoft lately.
What do you see as some of the primary drivers for modernization?
I think that, in general, corporations have some strategic goals and some tactic goals. On the strategic side, one of the goals that we see every day is a consolidation and standardization of the technologies that support their assets. Sometimes, especially large corporations, have a whole salad of systems, and having them on a unified platform has some obvious cost savings benefits. In addition, it also helps them, streamline the development process. And eventually, when they are on more modern platforms, the integration with services-oriented architectures becomes a little bit easier. On the tactic side, sometimes customers or corporations want to reduce their operational and maintenance costs, or want to mitigate the lack of programmers with the knowledge of a certain technology. Sometimes it's harder and harder to find certain types of legacy programmers. And also, on the tactic side, they want to make sure that they comply with standards and supported platforms in order to avoid the risk of running applications that are mission-critical, platforms that are not really supported.
One of the ways that modernization occurs is in a transformation process. We call it legacy transformation. And why is that a good approach or a good method of modernizing an application?
We think that legacy transformation has the main goal of very quickly eliminating the source platform. And once you have standardized your application on a new system, then you're ready for further evolution. The good thing about legacy transformation is that it does not have an impact on the users, because typically when we say legacy transformation, we also couple that with the term functional equivalence, in which we take a certain application on a certain platform and we maintain the functionality of that application and we just move it to a new, more modern platform. When you deploy the application that was transformed, the users almost do not feel the change. So there are no retraining efforts, and the experience is quite smooth for the organization in general. Of course, it can be a little bit more traumatic for the IT department, but it becomes confined into the IT department. And once you have the application in the new platform, then it is ready for further evolution. You can add new functionality, you can make changes that are required, you can integrate it with other applications, and overall, you can use all the modern programming techniques, modern tools, and in general, skills should be more available for modern technologies.
So when you're talking about legacy transformation, you're talking about pretty much taking your legacy application and duplicating it in a modern platform without increasing or changing the current functionality. Is that correct?
Yes. And we always recommend that as a first step, because you generally don't want to mix the fact that you're changing the underlying platform and the functionality at the same time.
That sounds reasonable. Another thing I've been reading about a lot lately is automated transformation. A lot of companies seem to be having pretty good success with that. How do you see the current technology?
Actually, at Artinsoft, we build tools that help automatically migrate source code into different platforms. And this is our approach. So definitely, I think it works. In general, if you go back to the origins of computer science, and compilers, you can always think, it is always possible to transform a certain programming language or a certain program written in a programming language into another program written in a different programming language. This is typically the task of a compiler. The big difference between a compiler and, let's say, a legacy transformation tool like the one Artinsoft builds, is that with a compiler, you go from a certain level of abstraction to actually a lower level of abstraction. And normally you generate assembler code that is not intended for human consumption. While with a legacy transformation, we try as much as possible to retain the same level of abstraction of the original code. So it is not a line-by-line mapping. It is more of a conceptual mapping of what is the intention of the program and how can I express that same intention with the new language that I have now available. It really helps make sure that the code that is generated is of high quality and that can be understood by somebody who understood the original software, so that they can see a clear parallel between the two programs. And I think that it works, especially because it saves a lot of time. A rewrite of a software is a very hard proposition, is a very risky and costly proposition. And we've also found that organizations tend to have a very short memory with respect to how much does it cost to build software. And when you say build software, it's not just the coding part. It is the coding, the bug fixing over the months and over the years, and making sure that little detail that is not documented anywhere else actually is critical to some business process. And those things are very hard to capture if you want to start from scratch with a new system design. While with legacy transformations, you have the best possible specification of a system, which is its source code.
Sounds very good. Now, in a legacy transformation, there's certain issues that you come across. What are the typical issues that you come across, and how do you address these?
The issues in general, really depend on the platform that you're transforming.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. For instance, if you transform something like Informix 4GL, then you have sort of like a language that is completely closed, and that it is, let's say, finite in terms of the constructs and concepts that you can express using Informix 4GL. Then when you make the transformation, you can map those concepts into the new platform. But when you look at something like Visual Basic 6, for example, Visual Basic 6 was designed to be extensible from the beginning. So there are actually thousands, what we call third-party components that are not developed by Microsoft, that are used by Visual Basic 6 applications around the world. And each one of those components is a new concept that you have to add to your migration tool and make sure that it is converted properly onto the new platform. So one of the big challenge is with this sort of like the scope that you need to look at when building a migration tool. And for some platforms it's easier, and for some other platforms it's just a much larger endeavor. We've also built things like conversion from Java to .NET. And if you think about that, if you look at the Java framework, there are literally more than 100,000 methods, properties, and things that you have to migrate and map onto whatever new platform you want to translate it to. And those things are a big challenge. So I would say that one of the problems is with the size and complexity of the migration tool. The other one has to deal with the power of expressiveness, if you want to say it like that, of the source platform and the target platform. Sometimes target platform may be, let's say, less powerful than the source platform, and there are concepts that cannot be mapped from one platform to the other, and vice versa. Sometimes you have very high-level concepts in one platform, like in a 4GL language, and when you try to translate it into language like Java or C#, which is not a 4GL language, then you have to somehow build those concepts from scratch. And you cannot find a direct map. You have to put some sort of a layer of abstraction on top of the language to make sure you can reach that. And then there are some challenges with respect to the architecture of the languages. Some platforms were designed to be like client server or just like a terminal and everything on the server. And when you translate it to the modern platforms, now you have the network latency in between, and you have these layers of architectural layers that need to be also mapped appropriately. Having said that, you know, in general, you know, you can overcome these problems. It's just that, you know, the size and complexity of the migration tool increases. But that's the beauty of it. Once you have the migration tool, then the actual migration project becomes very predictable.
I think that's one of the best things about automated transformation is writing this code that is predictable and that can be worked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you have 100 different programmers that are each writing their own style of program.
Yes, the consistency in the generated code is very important. So even if the migration tool makes a mistake or it is incomplete for some scenario, since it produces code in the same exact way, then even manually fixing that problem is very easy, because once you find it once, you know, the replication is very, very simple.
One of the things with legacy migration, you start with this legacy application, you're moving it over to a new modern platform. How valuable is that legacy application when you're doing the modernization project?
The important assumption that we make when we do a legacy migration is that the application that I have is valuable to the business in terms of its functionality, but the technology or the platform where it runs is no longer adequate for the business. So the most important value that a legacy migration provides is the elimination of the source platform. For instance, in the case of Visual Basic 6, you know, Microsoft is moving it out of support. And therefore, you know, you don't want to be caught with an application that runs, that works, but it's on an unsupported technology. Sometimes some large corporations, they identify software providers and they determine that software vendor is no longer standard or is becoming riskier, or maybe it's just overcharging them for support or for the use of the technology, which is quite typical in the mainframe space. And they just want to retain the knowledge that is expressed in the application, but remove the platform, change the platform. Once you've changed the platform, and assuming that you move to a modern development environment, you start having all the benefits of modern tools, modern methodologies, more talent, and you can just continue the evolution of the application, probably with less cost also. So in general, legacy transformation is important if you want to retain the knowledge in the application, but you want to eliminate platform. It allows you to do that very fast. If the platform that you're using is fine for you and you don't need to change it, then maybe this is not necessary.
I think a lot of companies are coming across a situation where they do need to move to another platform, especially as cloud computing and some of the more modern platforms out there are coming to be more standard.
Correct, yes.
Now, when a company approaches a legacy modernization project, should they migrate the entire application, or should they do it in like business sections or some type of divisions that they developed within the code?
For instance, at Artinsoft, we always ask for self-contained systems, which means, you know, it's a certain functionality with all of its dependencies. So if they have like some core components or core modules, you know, those have to be included. And this is because, you know, the interoperation between different platforms sometimes is complicated. You can split the work, but we always suggest to use self-contained chunks of code. Typically, you can do the division by functionality, but you also have to make sure that you really attach all the source code that is involved into that division. I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself. So for instance, if you have a, like many corporations do, have a set of core components that are used by a number of their systems, then when you migrate the first of those systems, you should also migrate all of the core components together with it, so that you can have a completely self-enclosed system.
Okay, that makes sense, right? Because you don't want to have to figure out all these interactions with other systems then during that process.
Yes, sometimes it cannot be avoided, but in general, the rule of thumb should be to try to avoid that. On the other hand, you also have to remember that until you finish the migration of all the system in a certain platform, you're not really reaping all the benefits of having the applications in the new platform, because you will have to maintain like two teams of people, you know, one to maintain the old platform and one to maintain the new platform. You probably will need, you know, two types of hardware, two types of systems, and paying licenses to different software vendors and things like that. So the quicker you do the whole thing, the better. But in general, you should use, you know, like standard project management, you know, techniques to split.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah. You don't want to have to pay double licenses for a very long period of time and maintain double crews and so forth, or have one person have to go back and forth and be worked to death, like a lot of programmers tend to be. Now, how large should an application be before you consider using automated transformation?
So if you have access to automated tools, like in the case for Visual Basic 6, then the size really doesn't matter, because all the investment into building the tool is already made. If you're considering building a tool to transform source code, then you better have a very large system. Because as I was saying before, if you want to do a good translation and really retain the level of abstraction from the original platform to the new platform, the investment into building the transformation tool is very high.
And you have a tool that does Visual Basic pretty much out of the box. I'm sure you'd have to do some tweaking, but fairly easy. Is that correct?
Yes. And again, the tweaking really depends on which third-party components companies used and what is the final architecture that they want to reach, whether it's still, you know, client server, or do they want to move to the web or things like that. But yes, in general, our tools remove a lot of the heavy lifting in the application transformation.
Okay, we've talked about the small system. Now, what about large systems? What are some of the issues that they're going to face that you don't really see in the smaller systems?
In general, it is the same complications that you have with large systems in general. The deployment is going to be a challenge, because from the IT perspective, you will have to change probably all of your deployment mechanisms. Sometimes you need to change hardware. You might have to, you know, to look at new licensing schemas. And also there is the whole skills migration around a large modern system modernization. Because sometimes maybe if the system is small, you can hire an outsourcer, or you can sort of like learn as you go. For a large system, it requires a lot of planning, a lot more planning, I would say.
One of the words you mentioned earlier was functional equivalence. What exactly is functional equivalence, and what place does it play in modernization?
We like to think of functional equivalence as a very low risk and a very cost effective way to eliminate, again, the platform, while maintaining the impact onto the organization and in general onto the end users to a minimal. It allows us to get a new system written with new languages and new technology that is completely deployable without any impact on users. And then from there, the IT department can continue with their standard evolution plans. We all know that IT systems are live entities. The functional equivalence is just a stage in the evolution of the system where you change the underlying platform. You retain the same functionality, and then using, again, the modern tools and modern techniques, you just continue the normal evolution, and you continue to add, you know, new business functionality, re-architecture, or, you know, whatever is required for the application.
Automated transformation, I've heard that there's some pretty high level of accuracy figures out there. How are people able to achieve this with a modern transformation process?
You know, the ultimate transformation tool is the standard compiler, where it transforms with 100% accuracy source code to source code in a different language, typically, you know, like into assembler as a target language, but is 100% sure. In the case where you want to maintain the same level of abstraction, you know, it all starts with the same parsing technology that you would use for a standard compiler. But then you have, like in the case of Artinsoft, we have some artificial intelligence rules that help us map between the different concepts to ensure that the generated code is completely maintainable and understandable by a programmer. And then at the end, you have the syntax generation part of the transformation tool, which is what used to be called the pretty printer, in which you actually generate the syntax that is taken by the new compiler and translated into new assembly code. But the high level of automation is done by combining compiling techniques with artificial intelligence mapping of concepts. And using both of those, you can really achieve very high precision and accuracy in your transformations.
And that then produces, like you said, produces very high quality code then, because it's basically taken the code that's been written and tested over years and produces an equivalent of that code in a different language.
Yes, and that is understandable by the same programmers. Because remember that if you talk to developer in general, it's very hard for a developer to even want to look at the code that has been written by his, you know, teammate. Then there is always a lot of resistance for code that has been automatically generated. So for us at Artinsoft, it is a constant challenge to make sure that the code we generate is understandable and that, you know, that programmers can and want to continue to evolve it and maintain it further.
And that's an important aspect, because the code has to be maintainable, because that's where a lot of your time is ended up spending in a system, is on maintenance.
Definitely. And, you know, the level of maintainability of a system should not be reduced by a legacy transformation. It should be improved in general. And typically it is, because now with the modern IDEs and development tools, you know, you have a lot more you have a greater ability, you know, to search into code, to debug, to, you know, to trace, you know, what's happening, and therefore, you know, a legacy transformation in general increments the maintainability of source code.
Now, besides just doing the automated transformation, what are some ways to lower the risk of a modernization project? Or maybe that is the best approach to lower the risk.
Definitely having a set of test cases is very important to lower the risk. Hopefully those test cases are automated, so you have an automated way of measuring regression when doing a migration. In general, having a very well-defined set of test cases is a good practice for software development, but it is also quite critical in a migration. Because even if you can say that I want the migrated system to perform exactly as the original system, you also have to have a way in which you can use and run the system to verify that it is behaving in the same way. I'm not sure if I'm explaining correctly, but it's very easy to put in a contract the new system has to be functional equivalent to the original one. But how can I ensure that is happening? It's just by running the system. And running the system means having a set of test cases that actually, you know, so that you can show that if I do the same operations on both systems, you know, the result is the same. So that is important, because the larger the number of test cases that you have, the less risky the project becomes. And in general, if you're modernizing, I would say, and not transforming, I would say that having, you know, a very good set of test cases, again, hopefully automated, is a very good way of reducing risk, because then every time you make a change, you can always very quickly verify if that change doesn't have any secondary effect.
Now, Ardentsoft has a certain methodology that has been developed over the years to do the migration process. Could you explain that process for me?
Yes. We have actually, let me start from the end and then crawl back. We typically offer fixed time and fixed price transformation projects, two functional equivalents. In my mind, this is the best way to prove that the methodology that we have developed is completely predictable, because you know we are always taking the risk of doing that, you know, fixed time and fixed cost. How do we do it? We start with an assessment process on the application, and we have a combination of experience and assessment tools that actually collect the characteristics of the application in terms of, let's say, lines of code, components that are used, constructs that are particularly important for a certain platform. It also collects the customer's requirements. For instance, you know, if I have a certain component in VB6, a third-party component in VB6, how do I want to translate it into .NET? Is there an equivalent? Do I have to build an equivalent? And all those things. And so during the assessment phase, which typically includes an on-site visit to the customer, we assemble all of that information, and then we really have a very clear way of discussing the project with the customer, and then you know we can really come to an agreement on what has to be done. Once we have the assessment, we start and we agree on the project and we start the project, then we start with the automatic migration portion of it, in which we run the migration tools and we start looking at the generated code. Sometimes, again, since the migration tools are not perfect, sometimes there might be some glitches that can be fixed manually and just you know move on and continue with the project. Or sometimes there are some glitches that are so frequent in the target code that it is just easier to just fix the migration tool and then remigrate. And we have a whole process in which you can, in parallel, modify the migrated code manually and also remigrate it for certain things and then merge it together. And this method also allows customers to continue to develop in the original source code while we do a migration project and being able to merge the changes close to the end of the project, so that the time in which the code has to be frozen for migration is kept to a minimum. Once we do the automated migration part and we fix the things that were not completed automatically by the tool, then we enter into a testing phase. And the testing phase has certain level of acceptance. The first one is completely internal, where we run the test cases provided by our customers. And then we hand over the code to the customer so that they can have more in-depth testing, typically using power users of the application that can really, you know, test it inside and out. And if there are bugs, there's a process in which, you know, they report the bugs, we fix the bugs, and eventually we finish the migration project. Again, as I said, you know, we've done this for many years, and we've done it over millions and millions of lines of code in the case of VB6, for instance. And we can commit to fixed time and fixed price because, let's say, we've seen it, if not all, very close to all the issues that can happen, you know, with a Visual Basic project.
So you've encountered almost every kind of problem so far.
I'd like to think so, but you know that's not completely true. You know there are always you know interesting challenges.
There's always going to be someone that's done something different.
Yes.
One of the other issues in modernization is the whole issue of compliance issues, like Sarbanes-Oxley and other compliance issues. How do you address this in the modernization process, or can it be addressed in the modernization process?
In general, we do see that customers transition their technology infrastructure because of compliance reasons among other things. Having an application written in more modern technologies allows them to modify faster, allows them to get more resources to work on the application if necessary to modify it for compliance reasons. And also, even if it is not, let's say, explicit in the Sarbanes-Oxley regulation, for instance, the fact that you might be running an application in a technology that is not supported by the vendor can have implications in case something fails, right? Because you might have an application and then it fails because of something, not necessarily in the application, maybe in the underlying platform that runs it. And if that cannot be fixed by the vendor because the thing is out of support, or if there is a security breach that is not fixed by the vendor, again, because the application is out of support, then there might be consequences from a compliance perspective. I don't know if I've explained that correct.
Because if you're just migrating something, you really can't affect the compliance or include compliance that's not in the software, unless you're going to enhance the software at the same time as you do the migration.
Yes, but for instance, like when you look at like some of the HIPAA, you know, for the healthcare compliance regulations, a lot of those regulations are around privacy and security of the data and things like that, right? So if for instance, if you're running on a platform that is not supported and there is a new security bug or a security hole and the vendor does not address it because the platform that you're using is not supported, then maybe you can be sued for malpractice somehow, right? Because you are adding risk to your customer's data that is not really necessary, but it is there because of the platform that you're using. So there are things like that. Then, for instance, right now with Windows 7 and the fact that things like the BitLocker for the hard drive is sort of like standard in the operating system, which means that if you run your application on Windows 7 and you use BitLocker, then you are complying a little bit more, or you have a little bit less risk than if you're just running it on XP with a non-BitLocked software, not codified, ciphered, you know, hard drive. So you know, yes, the actual compliance rules, you know, are embedded in the application logic, and therefore, you know, if you just transform it, you're not improving that. But the platform per se can have some characteristics that make it more or less compliant. And by transforming it to the newer platform, you can help in your compliance efforts.
Do you think small companies that, you know, aren't necessarily required to comply should try to comply with some of these SOX issues?
I'm not an expert on financial regulations, right? But I think that to the extent that these regulations really try to express best practices in the industry, then companies should try to follow them, right? The process that needs to be followed, you know, to the letter for SOX is very complicated, and it might not be worth the burden for smaller companies. But in general, there are some best practices and some principles that I think should be followed.
What is the primary benefit that a company can achieve by using the Ardensoft modernization approach?
I think that the most important one is the low risk that the approach has. We know how to do it. We've done it before, and you know, we complete projects. In fact, you know, it's done on a fixed price, fixed time, and we guarantee functional equivalence. So if you just want one word, is low risk. You know, that's probably the best thing or the best benefit that you get by using us.
And that's actually a very important thing, because many companies don't even attempt a modernization project because of the risk associated with it.
Yes. Part of our sales process revolves around making customers feel comfortable with our approach. So there is always a lot of due diligence that they perform on the code that we generate, on, you know, our experience, you know, our success stories and everything before they go with us. And we do work with very large companies with mission critical systems. And to them, making sure that the project will finish and that you know, it will work is super important.
Now, what are the primary languages that you support that you can transform into new modern platforms?
Right now, we're very market-driven, because sometimes, you know, you can think of, you know, old platforms that, you know, should no longer be there, but they're still there. However, you know, the driver to move out is not there, and therefore it's very hard to justify a migration tool for those. But right now, you know, we're seeing a lot of market drive for Visual Basic 6 to VisualBasic.net or C#, and also for ASP to ASP.net. And we continue to see some Informix 4GL, some Unisys Link, which are, you know, the main languages that we currently translate. And we're also working on a couple of new tools, but I'm still not ready to discuss those. More will come soon.
Sounds like you have a good variety, though, mostly on the PC network type level.
Yes, we've been focusing on that.
Now, what kind of services do you provide, including this transformation process?
In general, you know, we're specialists on this. So we can either sell you license and support for our migration tool, and then you can go ahead and sort of like do the migration project on your own, or we can sell you full migration projects. We also work with the top systems integrators around the world who, you know, again, license our technology and just perform migration projects. But in general, we stay there. Sometimes we do some functionality changes to the application at the end, but it has to be a very special circumstance. Again, our business is get in, transform the application, reach functional equivalence, and then leave the applications in the hands of the customer, of the corporation, so that they can continue to evolve it and they have really no dependency on Artinsoft moving forward. And they can continue to use their normal development practices.
That sounds like a good service, though. Many companies are looking for that kind of thing nowadays.
I sure hope so.
Right. Now, what's the best way for someone to contact either you or someone from Artinsoft to find out more information about this?
Well, typically, all of the information is on our website, which is www.artinsoft.com, or you can write to info@artinsoft.com, or you can also write directly to me if you want, and my email is fzoufaly@artinsoft.com.
And I'll include links for all this on the website, so people, after they've listened to the interview, will be able to find these links on softwaremodernization.com.
Thank you very much.
I think that pretty much covers it. Do you have anything else you'd like to say that maybe we missed in the interview that you'd like to include?
Maybe just as a summary, legacy transformation is the lowest risk way of eliminating a certain technology restriction while retaining all of the value from a business perspective that an application has, and should be considered as part of your modernization efforts in general.
Very good. I enjoyed the interview with you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark, please visit softwaremodernization.com and click on the interview link.